Hi, and welcome to Forest of the Future, the podcast series where we talk about innovation and trends and grand ideas in the world of sustainable forestry, climate mitigation, and of course, FSC. Today, we are going to turn the tables, because today I'll hand over the mic to my colleague Eva Hamanovic and let her ask all of the questions. The reason is quite simple. Today, we focus on one of my babies, circular transition in FSC. And it is really difficult to interview myself, so I asked for help. FSC was built more than 30 years ago in a time where products and production was mostly linear. And as a result, our standards and our rules are designed for a linear economy. So how do we transition all of that into being fit for a circular economy? And why is it so important that we do so? That is what I will try to explain to Eva in a bit. And why me? Well, because I am the initiator and the lead of the FSC Circularity Hub, which is a global initiative inside FSC that aims to make our organization fit for the circular economy. So with that, why don't I just hand it over to Eva?
So let's start from the basics, the Circularity Hub. What is it that you do and how does it work?
It's a 3 to 5 year program right now, and it's a new way of working inside FSC. We are a decentralized team of 5 people working out of Denmark. Our role is to really make sure that we have all of the bits of the puzzle that we need for FSC to make decisions on what do we want to do when it comes to circularity. So we are doing a lot of mapping of what are upcoming trends, what are upcoming legislation, what would potential impact be of different decisions that are possible within FSC when it comes to circularity, and we are handing that over to the FSC leadership and to our members to make informed decisions. We are also doing a lot of interviews with stakeholders around the globe, so that could be NGOs, certificate holders, forest owners, etc., to make sure that we know what their position is on the different topics that is affected to circularity and how different decisions would impact them. And then, of course, we are also doing the last very important bit, which is facilitating a lot of discussion. That is discussion both with the FSC leadership, so making sure that our board of directors and our internal top management have as much knowledge as they can and have the discussions that needs to be done, and making sure that we can make informed decisions. And we are then preparing ourselves to take all of these discussions to our members within the next year or so. So it sounds really fluffy, it sounds really slow, but in essence, we're doing all of the homework that will then enable us to move faster once we get to a point, hopefully within the next year, where we need to make some decisions on what is it that FSC wants to do when it comes to circularity.
A question that comes to mind after you described how you're doing the mapping and interviewing people to see what the landscape in that topic is, who are the key players globally that you're looking at, and who are your people with whom you're having all those conversations to see what's out there and to make like a lay of the land for FSC on the topic of circularity?
Of course, FSC is not operating in a vacuum when it comes to an important topic like circularity, or in general, we're at least trying not to operate in a vacuum. So there's a lot of different players who are working with circularity and circular transition. Ones that come to my mind is, of course, all of our certificate holders. We are working with companies of all sizes all around the globe. And very many of those companies already do have targets that are either directly connected to or are indirectly connected to circular transition. So every single company out there that has, for example, a net zero strategy would be most likely also looking in the direction of circular solution because they have to reduce their carbon emissions so much. The same goes for all of the countries of the world. So all of these companies, some of them also have product strategies as to how can we make sure that we take back many more products than we have done in the past? How can we utilize our resources over multiple use cycles? How can we decouple our company growth with a need for more resources? So that's an agenda that takes up a lot of mind space for a lot of our certificate holders already. Then you have all of the governments who've made the similar kind of commitments, and they're pushing out a lot of legislation, especially countries within the European region, but it's not solely in the European region. It's something that we are seeing across all different regions in the world. And they are now pushing out different legislations that either directly hit on circular transition or indirectly hit on circular transition. So of course, there are also some of the stakeholders where we need to understand what is the intention behind these legislations. How can FSC adapt to fit to them? Then we have, of course, the forest owners who are supplying all of the materials and will be continuing to be supplying the materials. We have the consumers who we also have to support in a circular transition. And then there's all of the academia and all of the like-minded organizations, all of the NGOs around the world who are also, all of them or many of them, engaged in this agenda and who are wanting to collaborate with us on it and who we want to collaborate with because we want systems change. We don't want an FSC change. We want a global systems change towards a more balanced utilization of our resources on a global level.
So the certificate holders are already using sustainably used materials. Why is it important that we transition to a circular economy? Aren't the forest-based fibers circular on their own?
Yes and no. So we've been talking about a bioeconomy for many years, and that is the agenda that FSC has been so ingrained within, and a lot of our members and certificate holders has been as well. So that is focused on making sure that we transition away from fossil fuel-based materials. And that is a very important first step that we do so, because of course, fossil fuels is a finite resource, whereas wood and everything that comes from a forest and which are bio-based are regenerative in their nature. The challenge just is that we and the community around us and society at large have been so successful in advocating for this transition that we are now looking at a 400% increase in demand for forest-based fibers. And that's because it doesn't matter which industry you're looking at, all of them are transitioning towards forest-based fibers. So if you look at the building industry, they're transitioning into timber-based materials. If you're looking in the packaging industry, they're transitioning away from plastics and into different kind of paper-based materials. If you're looking into textiles, they're transitioning away from cotton and polyester towards viscose, which is also a forest-based fiber. So it doesn't really matter which industry you're looking at, they're all transitioning in towards forest. And that's a good news, because that means that we're transitioning away from fossil fuel based. But it's bad news for the forest, because if we don't ensure that these fibers are used more than once, we will simply run out. So this 400% increase in demand that is just connected to all of the promises and commitments made already is already 200% above what the forest can actually sustainably supply. So if we want to have thriving forests and ecosystems as we cross the 2050 barrier, we need to be using our fibers smarter. We need to be using them for longer. We need to be reusing them to a much, much larger extent than we are today.
How is it that you can work on this topic and couple with the core role of FSC, making sure that forests are protected on a global level?
The core reason that FSC was established was, of course, to ensure sustainably managed forests and do that in a very holistic way. And the goal that we have in the work that we do in the Circularity Hub is actually the same. All of us want to reduce pressure on forests to a level where we can manage them sustainably. Because if we don't do that, then we can't count on them for climate change mitigation. We can't count on them to realize the true value of forests in terms of them being a sanctuary, in terms of having them for recreation, in terms of having them to help us sustain life and to protect ecosystems. If we do not do our very best to help reduce pressure on forests, if we enable and allow this 400% increase in demand, if we're part of that story as FSC, our forests won't have a healthy ecosystems, and we won't be able to support smallholders and communities, and we won't be able to mitigate climate change. So in essence, if you ask me, if we don't go down this trajectory, if we don't ensure that we keep fibers in use for longer, we as FSC will not be able to live up to our mission and the vision that we have for forest in 2050, which is that they should be resilient and that they should be supporting of all types of life on Earth.
Thanks, Loa. And now I see that it's really intrinsically connected with the key mission of FSC and that we basically cannot do without thinking about circularity. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me a little bit more about what you're focusing on? Tell me a little bit about this work.
We have five different tracks that we're working on. So some of them are really low-hanging fruits and very no-nonsense, and some of them are a bit more complex. The first one is to make sure that people know what we're already offering. FSC has had FSC recycled and reclaimed for many years. Surprisingly, many companies around the world don't know what this opportunity is. They don't know what we offer through FSC Reclaim. They don't know how they can use it as part of their integral certification setup. So the first piece of work is simply just to make sure that our existing solutions out there are known. The second piece of the work is to make sure that our core standards, so the Tina Custody Standard and the Connected Standards, to a much larger extent, support circular business models. So recycling is one type of circular business models, but you can also think of leasing products, and you can think of take back, and you can think about repair. And none of those are actually possible within the current standards that we have in the FSC system. So we're looking into how can we adapt our system so that we do cater for these business models as well. These standards were built more than 30 years ago when all companies in the world more or less were linear. So that's why that's what they cater for, and we need to now make sure that they can close the loop. Then the third track is looking at all of the legislation coming up, because as I said, we are not operating in a vacuum here. We are not the only ones trying to think about how can we solve this. So we do have a lot of different countries coming up with different types of legislation that are requiring for a circular transition in one way or another, that are requiring for much more data about the origin of where products coming from, what is the impact of different kind of products, down to very simple things like product passports, so that when you want to reuse a fiber, you can actually see what is inside of that product, and you have to be able to disassemble it to then use it again. All of these different legislations combined make up to 1,500 requested data points from companies. And 1,500 is very much when you're going from almost zero. So we are looking into how many of these different data points we as a system could support companies in getting. We are already gathering a lot of data through our audits when we are on the ground, both in companies that are producing and in the forest. So how can we make that information, that data, more available in the requested formats? How can we make it travel through supply chains? And which of the different data points would it make the most impact in terms of supporting certificate holders if we went out and collected, or if we collected in a slightly different way, or if we made more easily available? So that's the third track that we're looking at right now, simply making a giant matrix and trying to map it up against our standards and providing that back into our organization, saying if we were able to cater for X, Y, Z, that would really support a lot of companies. And then we have the more tricky ones. We are looking into what the role of waste materials from other agricultural waste streams could be in FSC. So we're already seeing a lot of companies exploring how they can reduce their carbon footprint by utilizing waste. So think about packaging, for example, to start mixing in coffee shells or rice husk or wheat straw. We are in this project exploring whether we as FSC should be mutually recognizing these types of fibers if they're certified to a comparable certification scheme. So under the ICMSEAL umbrella, for example, so that they could count as volume inside the FSC system. We're trying to identify whether that would make sense, whether these products actually have a lower carbon footprint. We suspect that we do, but we haven't done the math. We are also looking into what does that mean if we allow for different fiber types to be mixed like that. What does that mean for the recyclability of those products? Are we contaminating them because they're no longer a monofiber? Doesn't it really matter because it's all bio-based? These kind of questions are we trying to explore, and hoping to get EU funding to explore in depth so that we can do some pilots of what would that mean in a system like FSC. And then lastly, of course, we are trying to explore what FSC could and should do when it comes to the cascading principle of use of materials. So cascades is really making sure that we keep fibers as at high a level within a use trajectory as we can. So if you think about a piece of timber, a massive piece of timber, a solid piece of timber, you can put that into a building, for example. Right now, what then happens is that once that building gets demolished, often that timber would then go to being either bioenergy or being fiberboard. And when you transform it into either of those two product groups, what you actually then do is you crush that fiber into smaller pieces. Then if it goes into fiberboard, you will glue it together and then you can use it. But then it's difficult to use it from there on after because you've taken something that was solid and crushed it into smaller pieces and you can't put it back together and have it have the same strength again. So essentially, the principle of cascade is making sure that we keep the fiber on the strongest, highest quality level as we can for as long as we all can. And right now in FSC, we don't have any rules of this. We don't evaluate it based on quality. We don't have rules on what you use the products that come out of the forest for. So in this program, we are exploring what could the realms of possibility be inside FSC for cascade. What would the impact be of different rules? And how would that work inside the FSC? Is it something that is rules? Is it something that is incentives? What is the possibilities even? And we are doing this basically to inform internal discussions first and foremost, and then to take it and engage with our members and our stakeholders to have them participate in debate of what is the role of FSC in a transition towards more cascading principles. Is that something that FSC should even care about? And if so, how and how much? And what is our role in this? That's the most difficult and complex of the topics because, of course, the minute that FSC starts having opinions on something like this, it does impact a lot of different companies and a lot of different industries from the way that it's working today.
This is fascinating, Loa, and reminds me of my recent visit to the Netherlands where they were pulling out timber after 50 years in the water, the lock gates in Amsterdam, and using that timber for making furniture because the timber was still basically looked intact after 50 years in water and could be very well reused for products such as furniture. By the way, very beautiful furniture. So definitely a lot of exciting topics on the horizon in that space. Mm-hmm. And also looks like FSC is connecting to so many other disciplines like agriculture. Mm-hmm. So looking much beyond our traditional scope, but really 360 degrees to explore the topic of circularity. So I'm really looking forward to hearing more how this develops. Mm-hmm. But it also seems like it's very difficult to go into those different ways and look at everything so holistically, so many things to consider. Mm. But what do you think is the most difficult part of this work?
The most difficult part is really the role of FSC. What is the role of FSC? Because like you said, we haven't traditionally looked as broadly at the use of resources. We haven't looked before into what is our role when it comes to agricultural waste. And it opens up a giant can of worms in terms of what are the questions that we have to remind ourselves to ask and then use the answers for. And one of the things that come to mind right now is if we go in that direction, how do we ensure that we do not then unfairly become into competition with things that could be used for food now all of a sudden turning up in FSC certified packaging products? How do we safeguard ourselves against those kind of dilemmas? Because we don't want to go in that direction. When it comes to cascade, it's also trying to identify new ways of working. If you know the butterfly model from Ellen MacArthur, for example, you will know that you have on the one side, you have all of the bio-based materials, which are sort of thought of as regenerative in themselves. So this is the whole bioeconomy. And then on the other side, you have the cascade principles, which normally are connected to the finite resources, to the fossil fuel based. So, and we need to identify solutions, how we get those two sides to merge, because the reality is that the biosphere will need us to also implement cascade principles, but it hasn't been done before. And it's really trying to combine many different theories and at the same time making it very, very tangible. So it's something that we can discuss internally and can discuss with our members and find tangible, implementable solutions for. So the most difficult thing is taking this very complex, very big picture and then breaking it down into something that's very tangible and where we can calculate impact, both in terms of resources needed, of administration, of fairness, of equal access, etc. And then, of course, we need to make sure that all of this also connects to our core role, which is safeguarding the forest and making sure that forest has value. So how can we combine all of these thoughts about multiple use cycles and making sure that we use forest-based products for as long as at all possible? How can we combine that with making sure that materials also have value for forest owners over multiple use cycles? How could we connect it, for example, with ecosystem services and payment for protection of an ecosystem and doing that over multiple use cycles so that we can make sure that it still has value to maintain the forest, even though the products stay in use for longer? That is the difficult piece of work. It's also the most exciting piece of work, but it's really where your brain starts to hurt from thinking about all of the different roads and possibilities.
Right, and it sounds like it is very complex and will definitely take a few more years, as yeah. I can imagine. Are there any low-hanging fruits?
There's very much low-hanging fruits. So making sure that our existing solutions are well-known. That is a very low-hanging fruit. And I have to give a shout-out to our value chain development team and especially to our colleague, Devendra, who's doing an amazing piece of work there in making sure that the big industries in the world know that we actually do already have FSC recycled, we do already have FSC reclaimed materials, and it can already be used, and it can be used to a much larger extent than it is today. So that is a very much a low-hanging fruit and something that we're working on here now. And then, of course, it's also a fairly low-hanging fruit to make sure that our chain of custody standard actually does cater for some of the very no-nonsense business models like leasing and repair and take-back solutions. Right now, you can't really do that in an FSC system. Some of the solutions for that is very straightforward. There's also the whole notion of what is called pre-consumer reclaimed materials, so cutoffs, basically, from the production of products, making sure that those have a role inside the FSC system and exploring whether that possibility, which currently is limited to the paper industry, should also be expanded to also be available for the wood-based industries and the non-timber forest product industries. So rubber, for example, is a good example of that, of something that's scalable. And really looking into how can we make sure that more fibers are being taken from a waste fraction in the different industries and move into an actual use fraction and still maintain their FSC certification. So those are some of the easier things. And where we're already working, so the chain of custody revision is already underway, and we have already done a lot of workshop with certificate holders to develop very specific concrete solutions for this that we are now feeding into that process. So that's some of the things that we're hoping to solve in the shorter term.
That's good to know that there is already something tangible happening right now and that FSC is already offering something in that space. Mm-hmm. I would like to know, what are the next steps in your work?
Engaging with our leadership, trying to identify how might we work with some of these really complex topics like cascade and waste materials. What is our ambition level when it comes to this? So really starting that high-level internal discussion and doing it on a very informed basis of analysis and a lot of background work that we've already done over the past year. And the reason why that's the next step is because next year we have a general assembly in FSC with all of our members. And we know that this is a topic that many of them will bring to us at the general assembly and something that they will want us to discuss. So this is an attempt to start preparing already now so that we can have informed discussions with our members and hopefully make decisions and progress on the topic within the next couple of years.
I have a bonus question for you. What is it that keeps you up at night and drives you to work on this topic and makes you record a podcast on a Monday morning with me to talk about these issues.
I can see the trajectory that this world is on. I can see how many are transitioning towards forest-based fibers, and I can see that there's not enough. So for me, what really motivates me is that I can also, in the horizon, sort of see some of the solutions. They're not crystal clear yet, but the whole process of trying to identify those solutions, make them tangible, engage with our members on them, and make them a reality in the world, that is what really drives me. That is what I find so utterly exciting, and why you can probably also tell that I have excitement in my voice. It's because I can see the world that we can live in. I can see the solutions that we could embed. They are not impossible. Some of them will be difficult to get to, of course, but they're there and we could get there. And that's what excites me, that I can potentially support us getting there and getting there faster.
Great. Thank you, Loa. Thank you for this conversation. And I was really, really pleased to talk to you and to learn about circularity and seeing how FSC is part of addressing the global challenges, which really go beyond forests. Mm-hmm. Thank you for this.
Sure, of course. That's it. I hope I managed to get you as excited about circular transition as I am. I truly hope that we as FSC will transition to a circular model, where we not only support companies in adhering to legislation and their own ambitions, but that we also inspire consumers to buy products that are made from materials to be used over multiple use cycles. I also hope that we manage to truly connect the value of forest and ecosystem protection with forest-based products over multiple use cycles, and that we thereby unlock the real value of forests. And I really meant it when I said that I can see the solutions on the horizons. I can glimpse them out there. And I hope that after today, that you can glimpse them too and want to be part of that journey. This also concludes this episode. Thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you want to get notified of new episodes where we dive into other innovations within FSC and the world of certification and sustainable forest management. You can also always get a hold of me on podcast@fsc.org with questions or suggestions to topics that I should be picking up. My name is Loa Worm, and this was Forest for the Future.